record budget.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Listening across the border, I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing our study here in the book of Judges. We've got to all the way to chapter 2, about verse 12, where it says, "The children of Israel, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked Yahuwah to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth." How many of you have bowed yourself in the last week to Ashtaroth? Ah, yes, Ashtaroth. How many of you went to church on Ashtaroth Sunday? And, I'm sure that they Christianized it. And how many of you bought for your children candy in baskets? Colored eggs and chocolate bunnies and chocolate eggs and things like that. How many of you celebrated the fertility goddess Ashtaroth, also called Easter today? How many? Spring. Ah, what a wonderful time of year. Everything is reproducing in the spring. All things become new and spring to life in the spring. Oh, Ashtaroth, Ashtaroth. Is that what's going on here? And how many of you had a sunrise service? Yes, the sun rising, worshiping the goddess Ashtaroth, the matrix from where all things come. Yes, the matrix, the womb of the woman, the goddess worship. How many of you took part in that? How many of you were bribed as children with candy and baskets into serving a false god, into allowing the pollution of idol into your life? And then you think, oh, well, I enjoyed it when I was a child. Well, yeah, what child doesn't enjoy baskets full of candy? Come on, you're being bribed into idolatry. And it's the same thing with Christmas, the Babylonian pagan Christ's death celebration. It's the same thing. You're being bribed with gifts and candy. And of course, Halloween, the same thing. They love to bribe the children with candy and gifts into their idolatry, into the pagan idolatry, into the pollutions of idols. And that way they just accept, oh, it's such a wonderful thing, you know. They may even make a law where if you don't allow your children to participate in these things, it could be considered child abuse. You have to prove, oh, I'm a good parent. Oh, we celebrated Christmas and Easter and Halloween. Why to deprive your children of the candy and gifts and all of these things? Oh, no, they're so much fun. How could you deprive your children of that? After all, I got all these things when I was a child. So that we just carry on these stupid traditions, not understanding, not caring. Yeah. No, God don't care. I'm not under the law. God doesn't care. God wouldn't want my children deprived of, you know, chocolate bunnies and baskets. And how about the Easter egg hunt? on the, you know, we got to watch that every year on the TV, the Easter egg hunt on the, they have the, on the lawn of the White House. Yes, let's bring the idolatry right into the top of the government. They forsook Yahuwah. They forsook the God of their fathers and served, Judges chapter 2, verse 13, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. You know, the parallels are just astounding. Easter? Come on. The only place Easter is mentioned once in the scripture, and it's not mentioned as a Christian holiday. It's mentioned as a pagan holiday. That's right. And it was sort of mentioned as around the time of Passover. Actually, it was mentioned as during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, that's right. That's the way it happened this year during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They had Easter Sunday. So they forsook. And how many of us are guilty? How many of us are willing to throw it off? Most of us won't. Most of you won't. Because, you know, what would your family think if you show up next Easter, next Ashtaroth Sunday, and you say, can't do baskets? You know what? Last Sunday, when the world was celebrating Ashtaroth with eggs and bunnies and little baskets and chocolate eggs and candy and jelly beans and all of those things, you know what we did at my house? None of that. Yeah, and I have children. We did none of that here. As a matter of fact, the word Easter was not even mentioned on that day. I did recognize Passover and Passover, though we didn't sacrifice a lamb, you know, but I might do that some year. I would rather do that, because there's nothing wrong with doing that. That's the celebration, the Passover. That's the celebration of when the angel of death passed over the children of Israel, a notable miracle, and all the firstborn of Egypt were slain from all cattle. From the firstborn of the king of Egypt, from the Pharaoh, to the least, to the servant, to all their cattle, to everything that was firstborn of the males, was slain in Egypt. Was it just the males? No. And that's why he said to the children of Israel, all the firstborn of mine, they're all dedicated to me, because I saved their lives. I passed over. And that's, you know, that's what we should be observing, if we call him. If we call ourselves His people, if we are called by His name, the people of Yahuwah, yeah, if we're called by His name, if we call ourselves His people, you know, in the scripture, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation, and it says, beware of them who call themselves Jews but are not. You know, that's a funny rendering, and that's a mistaken rendering too. I've thought about that, and I've looked into it. And here's what I came up with. If I were translating that into Hebrew, it would say something like this. Beware, if I were to translate it into Hebrew and directly from the Hebrew into English, it would say something like this. Beware of them who call themselves the people of God, but are not. That's really what it says. That's really what the message is. Because the book of Revelation was not written to the Jews. It was written to the people of God, the people of our Creator. That's right, it was written to them. And it was a beware of people who call themselves the people of God, but are not. And that makes a little more sense, doesn't it? But we're getting far afield of our... But they're the ones who bring in a lot of this idolatry, all of this evangelicalism that's overtaken the church, where you have a church that embraces and brings the world in rather than separates from the world and becomes a light. Now they don't become a light to the world. They go, we are the world. Look, we're celebrating Ashtaroth. Bring your little baskets to church. You know, and they have the eggs and the baskets, and then for an excuse, they call it the day that Christ rose from the dead. As if somehow fertility and goddess worship is responsible for Christ rising from the dead. So we're going to bring Ashtaroth in it, and we're going to call it Ashtaroth or Easter Sunday. And some now call it Resurrection Sunday or whatever. But, you know, I say, well, you could, that's fine. You can celebrate the resurrection any day you want. But leave Ashtaroth out of it. Leave Easter out of it. Leave the eggs and the bunnies out of it. And let's celebrate the resurrection every day. And if we're going to have feast days, why don't we do his feast days? Why don't we keep his calendar instead of all these pagan things that were brought in by those who call themselves the people of God, but are not? Beware of them. And so we have here in Judges, it's recorded for us that the children of Israel, the people of God on earth, the people called by his name, are allowing now all of the pollutions of idols to come into the congregation. They allow them to stay there, and they start to embrace them. They start to visit them and start to marry with them and so forth, and it goes on and on. But let's continue. Let's jump back in here. In verse 14 of Judges chapter 2, and the anger of Yahuwah, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. And that's what happens. You allow your enemies to come in, and they plot against you. You know why? Because they're not godly. They're not honest. They may pretend that they're all about goodness, like CPS today and all the government out there. Oh, it's all for the good of the people. But they're your enemies. They're plotting against you because they serve other gods. They don't serve the truth. They serve the father of lies. They worship the dragon. That's what the scripture says. Same thing here in the land of Israel, in the promised land, where they allowed those that worship the dragon to stay in there with all of their idolatries and pollute their congregations and their families and their people. So they plotted against them while they pretended to be their friends. That's what those who worship the dragon do. You may think, we can give a little. We can compromise a little just to be at peace, but while they're plotting your destruction. Because they do not love their neighbor as themselves. They do not do unto others as you would as they do not embrace the law of our Heavenly Father. Their law says, take whatever you can. Use whatever device you can to spoil your neighbor. Get whatever you can for yourself, because, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. Yes, that's right. We just go to the grave and that's it, because we don't want to serve a God. We don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. We live without faith, so that all we have is whatever we can get in this life, even if we have to take it from others. That's the way they live. You can never trust those that worship the dragon, that do not follow the commandments, that do not embrace the commandments of our Heavenly Father and desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him, because they have not been redeemed. Neither do they seek to be redeemed. They worship the creation rather than the Creator. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of Yahuwah was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves down unto them. You know, that's like me sitting here telling you, cut it off. Cut off the Ashtaroth. Cut off the Christ's death. Cut off all of these pollutions of idols. Cut it all off. Stop taking the benefits of the world system. Start looking to our Heavenly Father for His benefits. Cut off the social security numbers. Cut off the insurance. Cut off all these things that are against His law. And turn to Him. But the people wouldn't listen. And the people do not listen. Very few will listen. Very few love the truth. Very few. They have their excuse. What have they embraced in the corporate church? We're not under the law. We're under the grace. So what? We can sin? So we can ignore God's law? We can practice idolatry. We don't have to keep his feast days, but let's keep these other pagan feast days instead. You know, somehow, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, huh? Does it make any sense? Does it make any sense at all? We're free from God's law so we can practice idolatry? That makes sense to you? I think the Heavenly Father says the same thing to you that he said to the children of Israel that's recorded in Judges. He says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges. So there were godly men going, hey, cast down the idols. Come out of them. Throw them off. Conquer them. Drive them out. But they would not hearken. And they went a-whoring after the other gods and bowed themselves unto them and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of Yahuwah. And they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of Yahuwah, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of Yahuwah to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it or not. What will you do? Here, we have the pagans all around us. We have their idolatry all around us. We have the pollutions of idols in the corporate church. We have the benefits of the world supplanting the benefits of our Heavenly Father. We have promises from the world that seem greater because they satisfy now. They take care of our fears. Oh, what am I going to do when I get 65? Who's going to take care of me? God can't do it. We can't trust God to take care of us. Oh, great government. Oh, great government. Uncle Sam, identify me as one of yours. I will fill out the form for benefits. Give me a number. I will be one of yours and I will serve you. That's right. And any time you say jump, I'll say how high. You say fill out the form, master, and I will report everything to you. Because a slave reports to his master when the master says report. How many of you are preparing your 1040 inquisition forms for your master right now as I speak? How many of you are rushing down before midnight on April Fool's Day? It's not April 1st, it's April 15th in the land where I live. How many of you are rushing down there to report to your master on your 1040 inquisition form? Master, master, I'm reporting. Master always reports to his slave. I report to my Heavenly Father. When his Holy Spirit convicts me, I repent. And I say, please, Heavenly Father, write your law upon my heart. You know, the masters of this world and the masters of this mortal existence, they have nothing. Sure, they'll give you $400, $500, $600 a month when you turn 65 till the day you die. That's your retirement. That's your reward. But our Heavenly Father has a reward that never ends. What kind of reward is that the world gives you? You're 65, you're wore out. They've thoroughly destroyed your health the best they can. You served idols all your life. And all you put money, mammon, ahead of everything else. Otherwise, you just bought into the whole thing. And you get old, and then you're going to die in a few years because now you're retired. And you got nothing to do, and you're tired, and your body's wore out. What kind of deal is that? You know, I like my Heavenly Father's retirement plan better. I will serve Him until the day I die. Oh yes, I will serve because of my physical, diminished physical capacity as I get older. I will serve him less, in a less capacity, at least physically. But he understands that. And he says he'll take care of me. He says, seek first my kingdom, not seek first your retirement. And who's going to give you money when you get old? And he said, seek first my kingdom, and I will provide everything that you need. And then he says, when I retire you, if you endure in my kingdom to the end of your mortal existence, I have a reward that will never end. And guess what? Your retirement will not be in a decrepit body for a few years that you have left. I will give you a new body, he says. That's his promise. You will raise from the dead, like Yahshua did, and showed himself to thousands. You will have a body that will never get sick. It will never get crippled. And if you were crippled, or you were sick, or you had diminished capacity, you will be restored to the state for which he created mankind. And that is beyond what anybody is experiencing today. Perhaps the only man that really ever experienced that was Adam and Eve. Could you imagine a man using 100% of his brain capacity? Having total recall? Having that kind of power? Power unexplored? And better than that. He promises more than most men can imagine. His retirement plan. That's the one that I've signed up for. So I will listen to his Holy Spirit, and I will confess my sins to him. And all these other gods out here, not my master. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave, where I have freedom to practice my religion, at least by their law. And we'll see. I will do that as much as I can. And that means throwing off all of the voluntary things that I volunteered into at one time, and repenting of all of those things that are against the law of my Heavenly Father, and coming out of his world system. Because here it is. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he says, I'm going to not drive out these idolaters among you, that I may prove Israel. He's proving us now on an individual basis. When he proves you, what does he find? That's the question. Each one of us individually are going to stand before him. And we stand before him now. And if we don't acknowledge him now, we will acknowledge him later. Don't ever doubt it. We'll be back in a few minutes.
No, never the same again. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under the heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD. Government takeover of the church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. Or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Not yet available in Iowa. Judges, chapter 2 and verse 22, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord, to walk therein, as their fathers did, keep it, or not. Therefore,
the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Chapter 3 of Judges. Now these are the nations which Yahuwah left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, and at least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in the Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahuwah, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, Yahuwah raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan Rishathaim. And the land had rest 4 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went into and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present to Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, the king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bore the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, Keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly. And the dirt came out. And Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, Surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Thereof they took a key and opened it, and behold, their Lord fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries and escaped into Seirath. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, Follow after me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. And that would be 80 years for all of you that are public schooled. And after him was Shamgar, and the son of Anath, which slew out of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of Yahuwah when Ehud was dead. So the Heavenly Father would raise up a man of valor, he would go in and slay and conquer their enemies, and they would praise God for a little while. But as soon as the man died, well, they went off and, you know, did evil again, unfortunately. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Har-Rosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not Yahuwah, God of Israel, commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver them into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, he came up with Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and severed himself from the Kenites, and pitched his tent into the plain of Zaanaim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, Up! For this day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand, is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And Yahuwah discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, the house of Heber, and the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not." And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, "Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink, and covered him. And again he said unto her, "Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come to inquire of thee, and say, 'Is there any man in here?' thou shalt say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, "Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest." And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. So God subdued that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye Yahuwah for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto Yahuwah," of course, the Lord in the Authorized King James Version, "I will sing praises unto Yahuwah, God of Israel. Yahuwah, when thou wentest out of Seir, then when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, and the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped water, the mountains melted from before Yahuwah, even that Sinai, from before Yahuwah, God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The villages ceased, they ceased in Israel, until that I, Deborah, arose, and I arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye, Yahuwah. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way." And of course, this is Deborah singing this song, and I'll bet ya any amount of money, just use your own judgment, that she did not say "the Lord," as it's reported in the King James Version, but as it's reported in the Textus Receptus, that is the received text, the name of the Creator is what she was singing. And so I will say it in the best phonetically as I can understand it, as I read her song. And I don't know anyone who's put it to music yet, but perhaps someone should. So I'll continue. "And they that are delivered from the noise of the archers in the places of the drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of Yahuwah, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of Yahuwah go down to the gates." Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake. Utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim there was a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people, out of Machir came down governors, and out of Zebulun they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo, and they took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their course fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O, my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horses' hooves broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye, Miraz, said the angel of Yahuwah, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to help, to the help of Yahuwah, to the help of Yahuwah against the mighty. Blessed above woman, Shedeel, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with a hammer she smote Sisera, and smote off his head, when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet she bowed, he fell, he laid, at her feet he bowed, he fell, he laid down. At her feet he bowed, he fell, where he bowed, there he fell down dead. I love it, man. Oh, continuing here. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why is the chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned. Answer to herself, they have not, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel too? To Sisera a prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, of divers colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Yahuwah, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. You know, I think that when we enter in to the kingdom of heaven, when, and you know, we enter into his kingdom now, but we are the clay mingled with the iron in these days. Yes, Rome is, the beast of Rome is very much present with us. And we, the clay, the kingdom of God, which Daniel said, I will raise up a kingdom in the days of those kings that will never end. He's building his kingdom now. And we will join all those who went before the Messiah, before he resurrected from the dead, before his death, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. When that last trump sounds, we will rise. The dead will rise first, and then we, whoever is left at that time, I don't believe that will happen in my lifetime, but many do. I cannot argue them. I don't know the day or the time, but I suppose that I shall follow like all of those before me who died in Messiah did. I will be raised on that day, and we will be with him forever. He will set up, he will abolish all the kingdoms of men, as foretold. And you can read about that in the template for prophecy history and prophecy future. That dream that he gave that great king, the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar, as interpreted, the dream is sure, and the interpretation thereof is sure, from the mouth of Daniel, who got the interpretation from our Heavenly Father. He shall abolish all these kingdoms, all these beasts of men shall be abolished forever. And his kingdom, like a great mountain, depicted by that great mountain, shall fill the whole earth. And when that day comes, we will enjoy his retirement plan. No, we will not retire like the world, sit around and drink beer and watch football games until we're dead, or whatever you do when you're retired. Go to Pilates classes and exercise classes, trying to get our old bodies to keep working until we finally die. That's a retirement of little hope. But we have a retirement. First, 1,000 years, where he's going to set up a kingdom, and we're going to rule and reign and judge the nations with him for that 1,000 years. And during that time, I have a notion that there will be a lot of breaking forth into song, just like Deborah did here. Just broke forth into song, singing of the deeds of men whose hearts followed hard after the Heavenly Father, who followed hard in obedience to them and did great conquest and great things. We will break forth. There will be a lot of breaking forth into songs. And it makes me think of one of my very favorite readings of the writings of men, and that would be J.R.R. Tolkien, and reading of The Hobbit, and of course, and I know a lot of you have just seen the movie, but you miss a lot because the movie covers so little, and the movie has to do it a little differently because they need to speed things up to get it done, even though the movie is very long and they're very well done, but you miss a lot. And what it reminds me is that they break forth into song, just like Deborah did here. And I believe there's going to be a lot of that in the kingdom to come. And what an enjoyable thing it will be. I look forward to seeing as many of you there as possible. Most of you I will never see in this life, but I will see you in that day. All you have to do is cross the border into his kingdom and endure in his kingdom till your mortality ends. Hallelujah. From a secret side.